Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Like I said, another good week for the markets. The Dow was up 1%, S&P up 1.7%, and the NASDAQ up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury, 1.43%. And oil, boy, that just keeps going up, another 1.6%. $75.21 a barrel. So this past week on an index level, and again, we've been talking a lot about that. This is my thesis about value and the areas you need to be looking at as part of your portfolio. And the Russell 2000 this past week, that is the index that rose 0.8% in a single day to be this week's number one gainer in terms of daily gains. And as you boil it down on a sector level, there's evidence once again of rebalancing, because as you know, we just finished the half of the year, June 30th, now we're in July. And so a lot of portfolio managers will look at their accounts they manage, and they will rebalance those positions that have gotten ahead of their target allocation. And so we saw some of that. So I saw some gains this past week in utilities. They were up 1% despite the rise in yields. We also saw energy, again, mainly because of oil, up 1.8%. Financials, again, that's part of value play we've been talking about, and industrials. Where was the suffering? Well, like I said, tech. Tech was down for the week overall compared to the other indexes I'm talking about. And as we begin this third quarter, I'm going to say right now that the waxing and waning of value versus growth, this has been the argument this last quarter, I think it's going to continue. And I'm going to caution you that while growth did better in the second quarter than value, I don't think much has changed on a fundamental basis in the economy. And this is what the numbers are telling me this week. The market seems to be convinced, at least this last quarter, that inflation was peaking, that the recovery was peaking, that Fed accommodation was just about over. And as such, investors started to pursue back into super cap tech. And I warned you about that because I don't think it's over. I think that the causes for that particular rotation were, again, more anecdotal. And if you look at the data, look at the evidence that we're seeing, look at last Thursday, where we saw the ISM Manufacturing Index. This surged, guys, to the highest level since 1979. You heard me right, since 1979. And when you look at that number, which measures manufacturing, at first glance, it seemed to be in line with expectations. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not seeing that. I saw some concerning sub-index readings. First, let me walk through that. The employment component of that report fell a little bit by 1 point to enter what's known as a contraction territory. This was the first time we've seen this in 7 months. Prices on the index rose 4 points. This is the number, to 92.1%. That was the highest reading since the summer of 1979. I remember the summer of 1979. Do you remember that? I remember going and watching, I think it was Greece that summer. As a kid, how exciting it was to see that movie. Saw it several times. And boy, didn't Olivia Newton-John look great? Finally, there was widespread mention by respondents that the supply chain issues, the labor market shortages, the elevated raw material prices, and the cost of transportation were limiting growth. And when you boil all this down, the combination of all this could show a degree of something known as stagflation. And that's something that, again, runs counterintuitive to the growth thesis. So bottom line, as we start to enter this third quarter, I think it remains very uncertain whether inflation is transitory or more permanent. And that's really the big issue here that we got to keep paying attention to. So let's turn to the labor market real quick. Yesterday, Friday, the numbers for June came out. This was a surprise. We added 850,000 jobs. So once again, that's another indicator that shows that it was ahead of what people are thinking, which shows that this is not over. This opening, this expansion, this recovery, it's growing. It's still happening. So That was very positive. And then again, Thursday, we always look at the initial jobless claims numbers. That actually dropped to 364,000. The estimate was 395. So again, that's a positive for the overall economy. And so I think the trend that we're seeing, if you look at it on a weekly basis and a monthly basis, certainly now, we're seeing this downtrend continue in what I'll call a Goldilocks environment, kind of the perfect environment to grow, but not too fast. And as long as it stays on that course, we don't have to worry about the Fed tightening out of nowhere. Because as you remember, not only if inflation is where the Fed would like it to be, which is what they've been saying, we need to see employment get back to pre-pandemic levels in their view, which right now we're about 6.8 million jobs away from that happening. So still pretty good amount of area space to go. And so you may say, well, what do I need to be looking at? What could unravel this market? What could change your mind, Mr. Sandman? Well, those are great questions. Thank you for asking. So the two candidates that I think could destroy this market that you need to be paying attention to right now would be first, this Delta COVID-19 variant. Right now, as you know, most of the vaccines out there are proving to be effective against that. But not everyone is vaccinated. I know in the Bay Area, we've been doing a great job. Good job, everybody. But there's a lot of areas where they haven't been doing the job that we've been doing. And they're 30, 40% rates in the country. So all those other folks who aren't vaccinated, this Delta variant could create an environment where, imagine the government targeting certain areas and locking them down. That's possible. They could say, look, this particular city, they don't have their act together. We don't want this thing to pop back up again. We're going to shut everything down there. And guess what? They can do that. As you know, the government has the authority to do that. So if they did that, that would be a problem for the market, because right now the market is pricing in perfection. The second candidate that I think could pop up this summer would be the Fed just making a mistake. I've never seen a Fed, for as long as I've been doing this now, almost 30 years, I've never seen a Fed what I'll call behind the curve on inflation. But we have someone like that. We have a group of people like that right now. And so given the mantra, don't fight the Fed, we should have exposure to inflation. What am I talking about? Again, this is my core thesis, cyclicals value. I just went over it, and you should too. Next week, we're going to have the consumer credit. As you know, the consumer's been strong. They've been buying things, so we want to see how they feel about that next week. Will that continue to be the case? I think so. And then we'll see U.S. auto sales. As you know, the auto manufacturers had a hiccup because of the chips. But from my sources, that's changing and things are getting better. And so next week, we'll have some thoughts about that.
You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.